Joshua chapter 7, beginning at verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." Verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonianish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them, and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Verse 24, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. Sin stinks. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin will pull you down. Sin will wipe you out. Sin will trip you up. Henry Myers found that out. There in St. Petersburg, the St. Petersburg Times tells the story. Henry Myers went into a local delicatessen there in St. Petersburg. He didn't have any money with him, but as he was walking through, something caught his eye. His mouth began to water. His stomach began to growl when he saw that great big sausage sitting there in the deli. He looked around, didn't think anybody was watching, and grabbed that big sausage to put in the pocket of his coat. But as he did so, he realized as he was doing it that somebody across the way, one of the workers, saw what he was doing that day. And so he took the sausage and began to run towards the door to go out of the store. But what he didn't realize was the sausage that he grabbed was linked to another one. And one beyond that. And a fourth, and a fifth, and an eighth, and a tenth. In fact, it was a link, a chain of sausage that went 45 feet. And he began to run, and the sausages were coming behind him, and he realized what was going on, so he turned around to try and break one off. He got tangled up in the sausage. He fell down on the floor. He cracked his skull, and he was taken away and arrested for robbery that day. Sin will trip you up. That hot dog found it out, believe you me. Sin stinks. It causes problems. It leaves you bruised. It leaves you hurting and broken and aching. Aching, yep. That's our story. That's the guy's name who found that to be true. He was Achan quite literally when stones were hurled at him and fire was ignited on him. Achan. His story is an interesting one. In Joshua chapter 6, you might recall that God had given to the Israelites a great victory at Jericho. The walled city of Jericho, enemy territory. The walls seemed to be impenetrable. The city seemed to be impregnable. But God, as you know, gave the Israelites a miraculous victory that day when the walls fell down. But then God had this to say, I will give you the victory, but you are to take none of the spoils from the city for yourselves. All of the gold and silver and all the rest is to be consecrated or dedicated to me. You're not to take anything from the city. Now later on, the other cities that they would conquer, they were allowed to spoil, to take freely, but not from that first city. Why? Because the first of everything ought to be, needs to be dedicated to God. God says, I want the first of whatever comes your way. The first is to go to me. Why? Is it because he's the Godfather who says, give me the goodies. I'm the Godfather. No, it's not that. He's not the Godfather. He's Father God. And Father God knows something about his kids. That is, if we're not careful, we can become possessed by our possessions. That materialism can subtly sneak up on me, grab a hold of me, and soon I am being possessed by my possessions. They control me. Kind of like what happens down in the Amazon. You've heard the story, how trappers there used to catch monkeys. They would take a coconut and hollow the coconut out and put inside a bunch of marbles and leave the coconut that had the marbles inside on the ground. A monkey would walk by, see the coconut there, pick it up, shake it around, and hear the marbles. He would then slip his hand inside because a hole was cut there at the top of the coconut, big enough for a monkey to put his paw or his hand in. He would do that, and then he would grab a hold of the marbles. Now the hole was cut in such a way that although he could put his hand into the coconut, once he made a fist in the coconut holding the marbles, he couldn't pull his hand out again. And so the monkey now, having a fistful of marbles with a coconut around his paw, his hand, he can't climb a tree, he can't run away, and the trappers would come later on that day and he would be monkey meat, or he would be sent off to a zoo or what have you. Now you know, I know, we know that all he would have to do is let go of the marbles. If he would let go of the marbles, he could then slip his hand back out of the hole. But a monkey won't do that. He's determined to hang on. God knows that we can be caught up in monkey business too. That we can get trapped. This is mine. And pretty soon, it has me. It has you. So God says, the first of everything is to be consecrated. Whether it's the tithe, or whether it's the city of Jericho, the first city in that country that was taken by Israel. Let it go. It's mine. You can have the rest. I'll bless you, God would say, exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask. But the first is to go to me, that you might be free. I'm your Father. I know your tendencies. Well, the people of Israel did that, but there was one guy whose name was Achan. When the walls of Jericho fell down and when the people of Israel went in, Achan saw a Babylonian garment and some silver and some gold, and he wanted those things. The Babylonian garment, you see, was the hot threads of the day. I mean, you were styling if you had a garment made in Babylon. And none of the people of Israel would, but this guy, Achan, saw that piece of clothing and he thought, man, that'll be cool. What's he thinking? Where's he going to wear it? I mean, if he takes the garment and puts it on and walks around the camp of Israel, they're going to say, where did you get that, Achan? What's he going to do? But you don't think those things through when you're coveting, when you're tempted, when you're on the brink of sin. And he didn't. He took the Babylonian garment. He took the silver. He took the gold. And then he hid those things underneath his tent. Well, as the story goes on, the next city that Israel was to conquer was a small city named Ai. The word Ai literally means heap. And they would get in a heap of trouble there. It should have been easy picking. It should have been a piece of cake. A dumpy little city, nothing compared to Jericho. It should have been no problem. But, as you know, when the Israelites engaged in the battle against the men of Ai, they got their clocks cleaned. They got wiped out. The men that fought against Ai, many of them were left for dead, and the others ran away. And Joshua, the general, fell on his face and said, "Lord, what's going on? Why have you allowed this to happen?" And Joshua prayed and mourned, and God said, "Joshua, get up and get off your face. Stand up, Joshua. There's sin in the camp." And Joshua said, "Oh." The next day, Joshua called the whole nation before him. And then the Lord began to speak to him. As the whole nation was there before Joshua, Joshua said, "Let the tribe of Judah come forth." And the tribe of Judah came forth. Achan was in the tribe of Judah. "Then let the family of Zahar step out." And the family of Zahar stepped out. Achan was in that family. And then the household of Ziba come out. And the household of Ziba came up. Achan was in that family, in that household. He realizes that it's narrowing down to him. And finally he hears Joshua say, "Achan, step up. My son, tell us what you've done." And Achan understood right then what the Bible had to say. Be sure your sin will find you out. I wonder what he was thinking about as it was narrowing down toward him. First the tribe, and then the family, then the household. Then he heard his name, "Achan, come here." Man, his mouth must have been dry. There must have been sweat on his brow. The birds had come home to roost. That happens. Did you hear this week? It's an amazing story. It's been talked about quite a bit. But this week something interesting happened. Be sure your sin will find you out. That's what he discovered, this man from Austria, from Europe. Vacationing there in Brazil, he decided that he would take home with him from Brazil some snakes and some reptiles. But it was illegal to take them out of the country. So he put them in a suitcase with a false bottom. He also gathered some eggs of some rare parakeets, which would also be absolutely illegal to take out of the country. But he wanted to take them back, these snakes and reptiles and parakeet eggs, in order to sell them in Austria, in Europe, where there's a market for those exotic creatures. He put the eggs, believe it or not, in a sock and put the sock in his boxer shorts. And he kept them there. And he thought, "I'm going to hide these small parakeet eggs in my boxer shorts, and the customs agents will never know." What he didn't factor into the equation was the temperature of a man sitting on eggs is exactly the same as a mother bird would be, you see. So here he is sitting there on his flight, and lo and behold, on that long flight, he finally comes into Austria, and right as he came into the customs area, the eggs began to hatch. And there was chirping going on in his boxer shorts. And the customs agent was amazed, and of course, "Be sure your sin will find you out." The Bible says, make no doubt about it, your sin. God didn't say, "I'm going to track you down. I'm going to do you in." God said, "Your sin is going to track you down. Your sin is going to find you out. Your sin, you're not going to get away with anything." Ask him. Ask Achan. Achan was caught. I saw this Babylonian garment, the gold, the silver. I wanted it, so I took it. And then, after he made that confession, came the punishment, the repercussion. "Achan, you are going to be stoned, and then you're going to be burned." That's what sin does. I've watched people, you have too, who get involved in sin, who think that they can hide it or control it. They take their Bud Light or their bottle of wine or whatever it might be, and they get stoned as they take that drink or that toke, and then they get burned. Did you know that with every ounce of alcohol that you put into your body, 10,000 dendrites in your brain are permanently and irreplaceably burned out? Every time you have a Bud Light or every time you have a glass of wine or a cocktail or whatever it might be, for every ounce of alcohol, 10,000 dendrites, as you're there getting stoned, you're getting burned, quite literally, burned out. Yeah, come on, John. I took anatomy and physiology. I happen to know that we have billions of dendrites. That's true. You do. But most of us need every dendrite we have. Most of us have none to spare. Most of us need every single one, you see. Why burn up 10,000 dendrites getting stoned? It makes no sense. Not if you're thinking clearly. And that's what's happening here. God is depicting, God is saying, Achan, you're going to be Achan. Stoned. And burned. And not just you, but your wife, Mrs. Achan, too. And the little Achans as well. And your asses. And your cattle. Fluffy and Fido. Every part of your household, you see, is going to feel the repercussion, Achan, of your thievery, of your sin. Listen, a lot of times guys will say to you, well, I'm going to have this fling, I'm going to get involved in that thing, and hey, if I get caught, I'll take it on the chin, I'll pay the price, I'll take the hit. What they don't factor in is, it's not just going to hit you, your family is going to get burned too. Do you really want that to happen? Oh, you might be macho, you might be tough, you might be... Hey, one that would say, I can handle whatever repercussions come my way. Have you factored in that when Achan sinned, it affected his wife, his kids, every part of his household was affected because of Achan's sin? See, God wants me to know that. He's not threatening us. He's sharing the reality. If you sin, Johnny, it's not just going to burn you. But it's going to burn those that you're close to, those that you care about, those that you would never want to see hurt. They're the ones that are going to feel the heat in a way that will break your heart. Whoa, Lord. Okay. Achan, what a model, what an example, as he was stoned and burned, and his family too. It's a lesson for me. It's a lesson for you. But wait, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. It's true. But it goes on to tell me and you, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's the great news. See, I should be Achan. I should be burned eternally in the fires of hell. I should be stoned because of my stupidity and sin. But there was one who came to take the heat, Jesus Christ. God's Son, God in the flesh, came to this earth to die on the cross, and He took the fire, the heat of hell, which should have been hurled out on me. His body was broken. He was aching. His blood was flowing. His internal organs were showing as his back was ripped apart. He cried out in agony as he felt the fire of God's righteous indignation, which should have been poured out on me. And then, when he was dead, they took him off the tree and they put him in a tomb. And they took a stone, just like Achan was stoned and burned, Jesus, whose body was broken, was burned with the fire of God's holy indignation, and was put away in a tomb. And the stone was rolled over the tomb, the door into that tomb. For 3 days, He lay there. But you know the story. On the third day, the stone was rolled away. He had risen from the dead. And in that, I've got great news for you. You that have been like Achan, we that have had our sin hidden away under our tent, out of sight, we thought that we could pull it off. But we understand as time goes on, we can't. Good news for you. Jesus Christ, our Lord, God in the flesh, paid the price for your sin. Took the heat. The stone was rolled away as he emerged on that Easter day. Risen, which means that God accepted the work that Christ did. The work he did on the cross was acceptable to Father God. He said, okay. The price that was paid by my son on the cross is sufficient. Johnny, you are forgiven of all your sin, past, present, and future. Washed away. I'm so glad. I'm forgiven. So are you today. Well, great. So Jesus became our Achan, eh? He took the heat. And the stone was on him as he lay in the grave that day. Great. Sounds good to me. Then I can just keep on sinning. Yeah, you can. Because you're forgiven. But understand this. There's going to be repercussions. God says, be not deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you sow seeds of sin, if I sow seeds of sin, plant seeds of sin, I'm forgiven already. Because Jesus Christ is my Achan who paid the price. But the crop of those seeds will come up. I'm forgiven, it's true, but the crop will come up. And the repercussions will be brutal and awful and horrible. Sin stinks. Well, then what you're saying from our story here, Pastor John, is sin stinks. We're going to be found out. It's going to affect not only me, but my family too. The people I care about. Mm-hmm. But Jesus died for that sin, that we might be forgiven? Yeah. But then you say, but if we continue in sin, there's going to be repercussions. True. But wait, there's one more thing I want you to think through. The punchline, the kicker. It amazes me in the story. It's the last phrase of the chapter we didn't read. But look with me. This is so important to see. Verse 26 of chapter 7. It says, so, that second sentence, so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor to this day. Think with me. Note this. Where he was stoned, he and his family, where they were burned, there in that valley, the valley from that day on was called the Valley of Achor. Achor means trouble. Achan, the man's name, means troubler. Achan was a troubler. Why have you troubled us? Joshua said that day. We lost the battle of Ai because of your sin, your treachery. You've troubled us. Achan means troubler. Achor means trouble. They called that valley from this day on the Valley of Trouble. And the story ends. Here he is, stoned and burned with his family in the Valley of Trouble. Is that it? No. The Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble, is mentioned in two other places in the Scripture. I want to read them to you. You can jot them down and look them up later if you choose. But in Isaiah chapter 65, listen, in verse 10, God declares, and Sharon, that's a valley in northern Israel, shall be a fold of flocks. And the Valley of Achor shall be a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that seek after me. Listen. Don't turn there, just listen right now. The Valley of Achor is going to be a place for my herds to lie down in, for people to seek me. The Valley of Trouble? The place where Achan was stoned along with his family? That's going to be the place of rest. And that's going to be the place of revelation. People are going to have rest there, and they're going to seek me. Listen to this verse the second time. Just listen. Hosea chapter 2. Again, I will give her, Israel, her vineyard, and the valley of Achor shall be for a door of hope, and she, Israel, shall sing there. The valley of Achor shall be a door of hope. This amazes me. The Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble, where Achan was stoned and his family was burned, God says it's going to be the door of hope. And there's going to be songs sung there. It's going to be a valley where people rest and have revelation of me. The trouble is going to be turned into something wonderful. On Monday, I was there at the China Hut in Medford. Monday, my day off, it was a great day because, you see, Christy, my daughter, and her husband, Seth, they took me and Tammy out to dinner. And it's great, especially when your kids pick up the bill. It's an amazing thing. You that are younger and don't have kids that age yet, hang in there. There comes a day when your kids will take you out for dinner and pick up the tab. And man, that's a grand and glorious turning point, a historic moment in family life. It's a wonderful thing. And I was sitting there with Tambo, my wife, and with Seth and Christy across the table, just enjoying our Chinese food. And then a guy across the way saw me. And he was sitting with his wife and a brand new baby. He came over, and as often happens to me, he came over and said, "Are you John?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Could I please talk to you?" And part of me thought, oh man, you know, I'm with my daughter and her husband, and they're taking us out for dinner. But the other part of me knows is this is what I do. This is the way it is. So I said, okay. Well, can we go to the other side of the restaurant, away from people? I said, sure. So we went over to the other side of the restaurant where it was empty. We sat there at a table. And he looked at me. Good looking young man. Handsome, 28 years of age. And he put his hand on the table like this. He said, "I'm in trouble." And I looked at his hand, and I saw there that his wrist had just been recently slit. I've seen a lot of slit wrists over the years in ministry, but none like this. It had just been sewed up with many, many stitches. It was as almost though his hand was cut off. He slit his wrist a few days before. He said, "I'm in trouble." And I said, "Yeah, you are." And he told me a bit of his story, a little bit, and I asked him some questions, and I looked at him and said, "Listen to me very carefully. That scar in your wrist is going to be the star of a whole new ministry. God is going to save your soul. And God is going to use that scar. Let me tell you about someone else who had a scar in his wrist. His name was Jesus. And Jesus came to this earth to die for you. He rose again from the dead. But one of his followers, Thomas, didn't believe the reports of his resurrection. He was a doubter, doubting Thomas. And I said to this young man, Jesus found Thomas. And Jesus looked at Thomas and said to Thomas, as he showed Thomas his wrists, where the nails had been driven through, "Thomas, touch my wounds." And the Bible says Thomas fell at his feet. And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And I said to this young man, that's what's going to happen with you. People are going to see the wrist the scar. And they're going to hear the story of how you were dead. Dead to life and dead in sin. But how Jesus has resurrected you and brought you to life again. Spiritually. And many are going to fall at His feet. And they're going to say, He is Lord and He is God. Because of that slit, that which has troubled you, I'm in trouble, is going to be a door of hope. It's going to be that star is going to be your, that scar is going to be your star. And He looked at me and we prayed some more. And I said, I need to meet you Wednesday morning at the Good Bean. I've got to talk to you about this stuff. So we met together Wednesday at the Good Bean, and I took him, like you guys do, I took him right through the Romans Road, explaining the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For all have sinned, but there is therefore now no condemnation to those who believe in Him. I took him right through the Romans Road, the scriptures in the book of Romans that tell about the gospel. And he began to share with me, and I began to talk to him, and I couldn't believe the life that he led, where he had been, accumulating all kinds of wealth in ways that he was not proud of. A very wealthy young man, but also shot at and hit in gunfights and all the rest, and had family all over the place, kids everywhere, only 28. And I listened to him and I talked with him and explained that the Lord wanted to grab a hold of his heart, and he was drinking it up and he was taking it in. And finally, after a good length of time, I said, is there any reason why you wouldn't want to pray with me right now to become a Christian, a born again believer, to let the Lord use your scarred life for His glory? And he looked at me. And he answered in a way that I'll never forget. He said, there is one reason. And I said, what's that? He said, I really have to use the restroom. Because I had been taught, you know how I can talk. He'd been sitting there for a long time. You can relate to that, many of you sitting here. I said, oh, please do, go. And he went, and he used the restroom, and he came back and said, now I'm ready. And we held hands there at the Good Bean, and we prayed. And tears filled his eyes. And when we were done praying for him to receive Jesus Christ, he said, John, I feel dizzy. I said, yeah, you're being cleaned out and born again. That's what's going on, my friend. See, this is the kicker. This is the punchline. This is the reality of the story. God is the only one that can take the valley of trouble and make it a door of hope. God's the only one that can take the stupid sins that I've done, that Satan meant to burn me with and destroy me in, and if I just give it to the Lord and commit my way to Him, He takes the valley of trouble and He makes it a valley for the sheep to lie in and be comforted and have revelation of Him when they see the reality of what Jesus does with a jerk like me, what Jesus does with people like you, how He lifts us up. He takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. And Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's hope. Even the scars that I have because of my Achan-type tendencies. He says, John, I forgive you. And now let me use those troubled valleys as a door of hope for others to see what I can do if they turn their life over to me. A door of hope. And there, Hosea 2 says, songs shall be sung in the valley of Achor, in the valley of Achan. That's our Lord. Aren't you glad to be a Christian? Aren't you glad that you're saved? Aren't you glad that you're forgiven? Aren't you glad that He will take even the stupid sins that we've done and say, I'm going to make those a door of hope if you'll let me, if you'll give them to me? That's our Lord. Oh, happy is the man whose sin is forgiven. Well, let's pray, shall we? I don't know, Father, the exact situations of many of the people here this hour, but I know that many are aware that they have been in the valley of Achor, caught in sin, burned and hurt, and family too. But Lord, we know that where sin abounds, grace abounds more. That the blood that you shed, the aching that you went through, Jesus, provides forgiveness. And I would ask, Lord, that there might be right now those that have sin under their tent, sin in the camp, that they might know they're forgiven and turn from it and give those scars to you, that you might do something wonderful with it. Father, for any who are presently trying to hide their sin, may this be the hour when they see it's not going to work and confess it to Thee and turn away. Oh, Father, for those that have never allowed Your Son to be their Savior, the one who took the heat for them, whose body was broken in place of them, may this be the hour, the moment, when they receive the gift of salvation.